You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hey, look at there. Once I was the one without my headphones on. Oh, boy, oh, boy. I'm tired, man.
Yeah, I'm tired, too. I struggled to get up a few minutes ago. And that's that you got a couple hours ahead of me.
Yeah, I do. I for better or worse, we went to Busch Gardens Christmas Town last night, had a good time. Well, Christine, she had a tap out early, went and sat in the car, but Lucas and I, we went on a few extra rides, and I'm so proud of my little rider, man. He did great. He rode a new roller coaster that he's never been on before. It's not super big or super fast. The biggest drop is 88 feet, and the fastest speed is like 54, 55, something like that. But it's a multi-launch steel roller coaster. He's never ridden. He's never had a launch or steel roller coaster ride at all. So it was good. It was a lot of fun. It was funny because at first he's like, as the ride came to a stop, he's like, I didn't like it. He's like, I hated it. And I was like, oh man, that sucks in my mind, but I'm giving him props on, not, you know, he wasn't crying. He wasn't like, you know, freaked out. I was like, you were super brave, dude. You did good. And then like, as we're like going through the exit and stuff, he's like, I changed my mind. I loved it. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcast from: Google, Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, all those good things. Check out LRMonline.com for written news, reviews, leaks, rumors, celebrity interviews, and more. I'm Kyle. That's Manny. And it's Monday, Manny.
Yep.
You know what that means, right?
You have to go back to work?
No, well, besides that, we got to talk about how horrible the box office is.
Yeah, just horrific weekend.
This is the second slowest weekend, according to the numbers. Literally, The Numbers is the website, but it's the second slowest weekend of 2022, man. Oh, my God. Nothing happening until this week, man, with Avatar, but we'll talk about that in a bit. You wrote about the abysmal black, I'm looking at Black Panther on the screen, box office. Black Panther won it again, but what did you see in these numbers? What'd you write about at LRM Online?
Well, that there's really nothing out there for people to watch. People who were going to watch the movies that were out have already watched them. Specifically, Black Panther, yeah, it won for the fifth straight week, but it's not really going up against anything.
Nope.
And so that's not, I mean, it's not really a win at this point. And then, so, but the milestone with that is that it did cross 400 million, which it is the third film this year to do that. And it's in company with now with Top Gun Maverick, which I think is at 700 million domestically, which like beat every movie almost double.
Yeah.
And then Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness at second, and then comes Black Panther, and then from there everything kind of lingers. The top movies lingers in the 300s. Jurassic World Dominion, the Batman. Those movies are around right there. And then one of the biggest losers, man, and it's sad because Emma and I went to go watch that this weekend, and actually was pretty good. It was actually a pretty good movie. I just thought it was marketed very weird. Was Disney Animation's Strange World.
So you did finally see it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Watching it in a kind of that father daughter father son dynamic is probably mm-hmm. the best way to go, just because that's kind of the messaging of it, legacy, and you know what we leave behind, what we want them to be, what they want to be, and everything in between. It's kind of a little bit of a complex story, but it in the case of our family, it worked, and she was even surprised at how much she enjoyed it. 3.6 million this weekend after opening on Thanksgiving weekend, which brings its domestic total to 30 million.
Yep. It's rough.
And the reason why that's rough is because it cost 200 million to produce. Not good, because it is currently estimated to lose about 100 million. A movie is going to lose $100 million. I don't know how you even sit. I don't know how you even sit down and tell your bosses that movie's gonna lose $100 million. That's
yep.
That's rough. A lot of money, huh?
Yeah, it is. You know, and unlike some franchises, Black Adam, you can't spend the numbers of merchandise sales and stuff as easily. You know, Black Adam is not going to be profitable via its box office. And yeah, part of that is simply due to China not taking the movie. If this had hit in China, it'd easily be $150 to $200 million more right now. China's a massive fan of The Rock, it seems. So
yeah.
But it didn't happen, and I like The Rock trying to spin, you know, well, if you count this and this, yeah, it's profitable. Yeah, maybe, but still not what you want. What generates buzz is box office headlines.
Yeah, but you're breaking, record shattering. I'm not gonna blame The Rock for these numbers, because they did not.
No, it's
force, because honestly, with names like Tom Cruise and The Rock now, and franchises like The Fast and the Furious, and I'd even put Transformers in there.
Yeah,
without Asian markets,
they don't exist.
Yeah, exactly. Because so sometimes you wonder why a film, like why they're still making Fast and the Furious if they're getting so ridiculous, because the international markets actually like
still
them a lot.
Still run it. So yeah, like I said, I'm not, if they had the Chinese market, Black Adam wouldn't be sweating at all. But the point is that Strange World, while yeah, they have merchandise for kids, it's not doing super well to begin with. It doesn't have a shot at really recouping a lot of its money. And it's weird, man. I saw my first commercial. Now I watch local TV every day, because I watch my, you know, morning news, evening news. If there's a sports ball game that we're interested in, we'll watch that. So I do see regular commercials, right? I see commercials for movies and shows and Tide. But I saw my first Puss in Boots commercial. Like, I literally thought that was already like the streaming deal somewhere only. I didn't realize it was actually gonna hit theaters, and that's not good, because it's hitting on Christmas, and I mentioned a week or so ago about, you know, where's the holiday mood, where's everything that we're used to seeing between, you know, November and January, and this was the first one that I really saw. You mentioned marketing, man. I think people are both scared to spend money on marketing because of it not doing well, but also it's not doing well because you're not marketing right or enough. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, on the contrary, I've seen quite a lot of advertising for Puss in Boots. So when I was in LA, they had billboards and things like that for it. In the theaters, I've seen the trailer plenty of times. And I've seen it on my TV as well. We are excited for it, just because we're fans of Shrek. We're fans of that franchise. Mm-hmm. So that's...
You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand. And even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Then that's the next movie we're excited about. My daughter and
good.
I had a
hope it's good.
Big conversation about Avatar, and we decided we do not want to sit through 3 hours of blue people.
my buddy, they'll remain nameless for right now, was upset because their dad really wants to go see this film, and they really don't want to. They just don't know how to don't know you know, they want to have their time with their dad and stuff like that. And it was just funny. They said the same exact thing that you did. I don't want to spend 3.5 hours with blue people.
I did not care for the first one, and I do not care for this one. It's just a preference. It's like, you know, nothing against the amount of people that are excited for it and that are going to go watch it this weekend, which by all means go to the theaters and watch it. But I also think that studios need to not be making 3.5 hour movies. Like that,
not anymore.
Not the way to go.
Not anymore. A long time ago, I used to get mad when a movie was only 90 minutes, about an hour and a half. What type of story are you gonna be able to tell with just 90 minutes, especially with credits and stuff taking off of a bit of that? Nowadays, I find that there are still times where I prefer that 120, 2 hours, you know, 2 solid hours. It's slightly under with the title and credits, but 3 hours, man. Like even like I love Endgame. I don't know what you could cut, but I wish there was something you could cut like 10, 15 minutes. I don't know if you can, but you want it because it just sitting for that long on one thing. And I blame the internet and social media for this, is almost intolerable because we're so used to access to so much more and consuming so much more faster. It is frustrating. What do you think? There's been a lot of advertisement. There's been a lot of buzz for this movie. Cameron's out there. You know, you're going to see this multiple times. So if you got to go to the bathroom, that's fine. And people, we saw the responses, the early reactions. They're glowing. And I posited, I don't remember if it was on this show or maybe Breaking Geek, but I was wondering, you know, here you. You get to hand pick, so to speak, some of these reactions and how well they're amplified. And is this the studio ginning up, or is this the industry? We won't say studio because it could be on the journalist side, could be on the studio side. But is this the industry ginning up more an extra buzz because of how badly not just the studio, Disney, and 20th Century need this, but how badly theaters, like the whole industry, needs this to... You and I don't care two shits about this movie, dude. I hope it blows the box office out of the water this weekend for theaters alone.
Yeah.
But now that the buzz has happened, a few weeks ago, a month or so ago, you and I made predictions of you 119 million, me 100 or 200 million. Right now, most recently, the rap had said, there it is, between 150 and 170, with Business Insider also talking in the 150 range. So, Manny, final predictions for Avatar 2 opening weekend. What do you got?
It's just that it's 3.5 hours. Like my my brain says to go 130, but the fact that it's so long, I think might dissuade some people. And I actually know enough people personally that don't care about this film.
Yeah,
that make me feel like that's going to be pretty good. I think 130 is going to do all right.
So you think it's going to underperform?
The thing is, I wouldn't even call it underperforming. It's like it wouldn't be a surprise.
Well, I meant based
on their numbers, the
trade predictions.
Yeah, I think it's gonna underperform.
I'm a little bit on the opposite. I'm like you, and where I haven't heard much positive buzz from like people I personally know. However, I have this just sinking feeling, and I, like I said, it's twisted because I wanted to do well for theater's sake, but I do not like the franchise, and I get annoyed with Cameron these days. I appreciate many films he's done. Aliens is still one of the best, coolest action flicks out there, but I do think I'm gonna lower it from my 200. But I'm still saying it's going to do well. I'm going to say 180. That's my final prediction. 180.
Okay. I mean, so. if it does that, that's pretty well. That's pretty good too. So.
Yeah, I think that relatively they should consider that a success. It was the rap, I believe, had said that it has good tracking. And they are expected to get the Chinese release. So I do see this being a billion-dollar movie.
I don't think it makes $1 billion.
You don't think it makes $1 billion? Now, that's bold.
Yeah.
So, okay. So over under $1 billion, 1-1. Let us know what you guys think in the comments box. There you go, in the comment box.
I don't see people rewatching it.
You see, that's the thing is I'm more considering the potential legs. If this initial opening weekend is good for them, and it's because that's what happened with the first one. If you recall, the first one just it didn't have like the like wackiest, craziest opening weekend. It was the longevity of it. It was the word of mouth of, oh my God, you got to go see this 3D. And that's the other thing. I've seen a lot of advertising the 3D aspect of it. But it was that word of mouth. And I that's where I think it's going to make the billion is it's going to have a really, really good drop in the following week. And even though it's the holiday weekend, that's why it's going to have a good drop. It's the holiday week preceding where all the kids are out of school, colleges are out of school, people are taking a vacation holiday, and so there's a lot more foot traffic. I think this was actually a really good weekend to release the film, like a really good idea, because you do get the Christmas break afterwards. So I think this does really well. Probably the top. I don't think it makes Top Gun 2 numbers, but maybe 550, 600 domestic in the long run, I believe is a real possibility. I don't. Yeah. Anyways, I'm starting to ramble. Sorry. Tired.
No, fine. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're being optimistic. I'm not going to do that. but I will tell you about a movie I did see this weekend that was fabulous. And that is Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio, which you can watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
Absolutely the best version of Pinocchio you can ever watch. Because actually what it does is it takes kind of that lens that you know Guillermo del Toro's films for, like Pan's Labyrinth mm-hmm. and others, Hellboy and things like that. And it takes that style of characters and turns them into one of the mediums I love, which is animation, but in the form of puppetry, stop motion animation. And it is
some of the best detailed
beautiful
puppets I've ever seen. Dude.
Absolutely beautiful. And the story, they take historical events and kind of mix them with with the story of Geppetto and Pinocchio. Of course, it takes place in Italy, and just very, very well done. I was stunned at how good it was.
Always a good
thing. And you can watch it on Netflix. And I highly recommend it. That's what I'm saying about it.
We wanted to see it.
There's one scene in particular. There's some scenes in particular where my girlfriend and I are like, there's no way that's stop motion. They had to have done some VFX in there and some animation, like actual, like, you know, 3D modeling and things that. And then luckily there's a 30 minute companion of the making of the film that you can watch afterwards. No, it's all stop motion, and I was like, "That's ridiculous." It's a continuous one shot of one of the characters coming down the stairs and going through.
Oh, carnival. Yeah. I've seen that. I saw the clip of them filming that on YouTube. Probably, oh, okay, but yeah,
that's one of them in particular. Where it's like, there's no way you're going through this entire thing, and it's all stop motion. And it turns out it's all stop motion, and I'm like, yeah, they were out of their mind. It took that one scene specifically took over 3 months to film, and that's beautiful. That's amazing that the artistry and that kind of thing is still there for some films. So kudos to them, and I highly recommend watching this movie, because it's not your overly Disney film.
Let me try this. Okay, say something, Manny.
Yes.
Yeah, I got you back. All right, we're good. Carry on.
Okay. Yeah. It's way better than anything Disney had ever put out with Pinocchio, and that's including the Tom Hanks film that they did, which was really, really strange, to be honest.
I heard that was atrocious, which is a shame because I like Tom. I like Tom Hanks movies generally. You know, I'm a big, get it, big fan. The movie, the Tom Hanks. Da-dunch. Anyways, it was sad to hear that it sucked so bad.
Yeah, it was just weird. So I mean, like, and then the cast that this movie has, ridiculous. It has Christopher Waltz in it. What's his, the kid from Stranger Things? I forget his name.
Ben Wolfhard.
Yeah. Let me see. Yeah.
Christoph Waltz, Ewan McGregor.
Ewan McGregor plays Jimmy. Plays the cricket. Finn Wolfhard. Ron Perlman. David Bradley plays Geppetto. Tina Swindon. Kate Blanchett voices the monkey for whatever reason. It's just done. John Turetto's also in it. Tom Kenny, Bernd Gorman. I was like, why? And it's honestly because all these people say they just wanted to be part of it. They wanted to work with Guillermo. A lot of them were working with them on like Nightmare Alley and other things. They're like, oh no, we want to do this. So fun, really nice, and it's available on Netflix, of course. So I highly recommend it. The other thing I wanted to talk about, and I know we didn't have a chance to talk on Friday, is the media's overreaction to any rumor they hear about DC right now.
Oh. Yeah. what specifically are you talking about, Manny?
Actually, there's nothing specifically I can talk about because of the fact that it's so much. Hollywood Reporter came out with that initial report.
Right.
About their sources and what they hear.
And we talked about it three days ago. Breaking Geek Radio also discussed it too, so you guys can catch those on here on the YouTube network, YouTube channel, or podcast network.
The following day, almost seeming like, and I feel this almost like spider sense. The Wrap came out with their own set of things, almost like responding to everything, and I talked to a couple of people also who who work for different sites, and they kind of agreed with me in the sense of, did the ramp get jealous that the Hollywood Reporter broke all this information and it wasn't them? Because it feels that way. And
maybe.
And so here they come with this all this other stuff. And it's to the point that James Gunn had to, you know, come out really and say, some of it's true, some of it's not. I don't know. We're working on it.
Yeah.
And
I think he had three tiers. Like, some of it's true, some of it's sort of true, and then some of it's complete false. Do you see him respond to his Den of Geek, I think it was? I'm sorry if I'm misplacing the tweet, but I think it was Den of Geek had said, Gunn doesn't like Cavill. And someone tagged Gunn in the tweet, and Gunn's like, absolutely false. So yeah, it was an interesting week for DC, to say the least, and media both.
It's just that no matter who got that job, it was gonna suck.
Yeah,
because like,
DC's a mess. Someone's got to clean it up. So if you came in to actually clean it up. And are determined to, it's going to be hard.
Sometimes when you spring clean, there's things you're going to get rid of that maybe you don't necessarily want to, but you need to. You have to. You have to part ways with some things. And
tell myself that all the time.
And I was really shocked at how many people all of a sudden came out of nowhere to defend Patty Jenkins' third Wonder Woman. And I was like, Wonder Woman 84 was horrible. Like,
awful.
Why would you want a third one? And that alone, and people saying, like, you should fire Gunn. Like, people were actually, like, going out of their way to saying that Gunn should be fired, and he hasn't even done anything.
Yeah, I know. Because of the death to the Snyderverse was what was causing that. People were very upset at the idea of him canceling, turning off, destroying, whatever you want to say, the Snyderverse.
Death to the Snyderverse is a great thing. We need to move on, guys.
I just want to remind people in any of the I don't want to say, trade media or anyone out there that thinks Wonder Woman 84 was great. Even the critics freaking hated it. 58%, complete freaking trash compared to what the first Wonder Woman got, which was a 93 from the critics and an 83 from the audience. Hell, 70 more audience did like 84 than the critics, but guys, 58%, and I mean, holy crap, they gave Aquaman a 65.
No, there's and you know, I firmly do believe that there's some of these films that if you would have stamped a Marvel stamp on it, it would have done better.
We've had that discussion
talk
before.
But
some of it, yeah.
Wonder Woman 84 was not good.
No, it was absolutely.
Do you remember the scene where she saves the kid, and as she's rolling, it's clearly a doll. Like, it's not even like.
Look alive dolls.
No, I mean, and then
you can buy a more realistic looking doll for your 5-year old than you can for Hollywood.
And then Pedro Pascal is just kind of wasted as far as, and then what they do with Chris Pine is super creepy. So just overall,
you just don't know what a character arc is, Manny.
Apparently not, and apparently Wikipedia is the right thing to send out for it. I don't know. It's
my God.
So yeah. Anyway,
and people still want her on Rogue Squadron. Why? That's the thing about Wonder Woman 84, though, Manny, is that it wasn't like she had complete and total control. According to herself, she was the director. She wrote stuff. She edited things. She's, you know, super hands on. That was her choice to have the two freaking openings in a row. It was all her. And when people are like, well, it'll be more collaborative for Rogue Squadron, you still look at Wonder Woman 84 and say the direction of Wonder Woman 84 was trash. The editing was also trash. The writing was also trash. So it doesn't matter which job she might be more limited to when it comes to Rogue Squadron, if she does get to carry on with that, it doesn't matter, because all of the positions that she has messed with were trash in that movie. So it's like, what redeeming factor? Holy crap.
So all of this to say, relax. Because everything you're reading on the internet right now, mm-hmm. and true, we also do regurgitate some of the news as well, because in today's news, it is a rumor.
But generally, we're just talking kind of about the rumor at face value, not picking a side of whooping, hollering, or ginning up anything. But if, and we usually do use, hi kitty, come on. We usually do use, you know, allegedly, make sure that you guys know we're you know, if it comes from a more rumorous source versus a more legit source. I mean, yeah, talking about it's not a big deal. It's when people start trying to figure out how to do more than talk about the information being delivered. When someone gets an emotional involved, and yeah, I know I was just super emotional about her potentially still being involved with Rogue Squadron. But we're not out there spreading it. It's a if, or if this is true, this is why I wouldn't like it type deal. So,
yeah. So relax. Don't take anything to necessarily to face value until it comes out.
Studio says it.
Yeah. Because either way, even if, for example, somebody had heard certain things from Gunn and they are true, the studio still has to approve it.
Yeah.
And that's something that allegedly is supposed to happen sometime this week or maybe next week, where they're going to meet with Zaslav and figure this out. But at the end,
their plan
or the beginnings of their plan, because it's the beginnings of a 10-year project that includes television, movies, and video games. That does not happen overnight. It doesn't happen in a week. Stop overreacting and want people fired over rumors, because
that's the thing. I don't want Patty Jenkins off Rogue Squadron because of a rumor. I want her off because her last movie was trash.
And then
see the difference?
Yeah, no, I
oh man.
If we want to cross the pond a little bit to Marvel Studios.
Oh, what do they got going on?
They have the audacity. Where is it?
You say audacity, man. You should be able to, you gotta throw down.
I just want to make sure I get it right. Marvel Studios is going to be pushing Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, which that one I'll give you a pass. There's some of it in there that Angela Bassett, like, okay, fine. But that's it. Thor Love and Thunder and Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, they're going to start their push for Academy Awards for these films.
I could see them wanting to do some technical stuff, sound, costume, effects for Doc Strange. I don't know what they would push for Thor Love and Thunder.
Thor Love and Thunder specifically, there's nothing special about that film.
Nothing at all. Like I said, you can make some technical pushes for Strange 2. I think you could. I don't think it's necessarily winning material, but you can make some technical suggestions for that. Angela Bassett, a best supporting actress, albeit I think some people would say she's actually the lead in that film.
And but, at some point, it does feel that way.
But yeah.
But
she could, I could see them legitimately recommending that. The awards that the first film won, like the costume and production, I was going to be livid if it didn't, because the costume design, the makeup, the set production, you know, the set design, all of that was, I couldn't think of something else that year that deserved it more.
Okay.
It was phenomenal. But I don't know what this one really has going for it.
So here are the considerations based on the direct. Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, Best Picture, Best Director, Best Actor, Benedict Cumberbatch, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor. Like, okay. Thor Love and Thunder, all of this is ridiculous. Best Picture, Best Director. Man, they're
just throwing them all out there.
Best Actor, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actress, Best Supporting Actor. Somehow Russell Crowe still ends in that list. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. At this point, I feel like then we should submit a film then too, and
I know, right?
And The Rock might as well go for Best Actor if you're gonna try to put Chris Hemsworth's portrayal in Love and Thunder.
They literally put him in for all the top ones. I mean, no.
There's there's nothing unique about any of these films.
Yeah.
That make them stand out versus any other Marvel film. You've done absolutely nothing special other than make another comic book movie, which is fine. I love comic book movies.
Yeah.
But
these aren't the Oscar winning films you're looking for. I wish they were. I really do. I wish they were.
Like when
I don't think they are.
Like when and I do say this with a lot of bias because I love DC so much and I have nothing to celebrate. When Joker won, when Joaquin Phoenix won for Best Actor, it's because they did something very, very different than what is considered a traditional comic book movie. They used the inspiration of the characters, then took a couple of classic movies that they were inspired by and really made something different. But Thor Love and Thunder is literally thrown together.
Mm-hmm.
And you miss the point of not only the main antagonist but your lead actress.
Yeah,
you had the opportunity to make that a fantastic film, and you just wanted comedy.
Yeah, and not very good comedy either.
Yeah, so
and I don't accept Cam at LRM and on the Cantina here on Genreverse. I don't accept Cam's look at it from I think it was Cam look at it from as if it's just a story being told by Korg. And that's why it's all crazy and off. And I'm like, no. Then it was still a crappy freaking story. That doesn't make it any better.
Yeah.
That's like the She-Hulk thing. Well, the regular ending would have been crap, so our crappy ending is better. What? No.
Yeah. So Kevin Feige has been heard to have been calling the Academy for genre bias. And I disagree with him wholeheartedly.
I wouldn't. I think it's very obvious how the year Ready Player One came out. What was it? First Man or whatever was up for visual effects Oscars. Both of those films, as was one of the Avengers films as well. And I was like, It's going to suck because First Man's going to win it because it's more of a traditional Hollywood thing, even though it just looks like a better Apollo 13, like nothing in it. We'd already seen Gravity. Gravity had already won awards. We'd already seen that. And the award is for achievement in visual effects, right? So what really did push VFX more in the movies that year? Well, Thanos looked freaking badass. Is one of the top motion capture characters we've had in this era of film. Then you had Ready Player One, which if you've ever seen the making of stuff with Spielberg and the way he had to direct it, the virtual reality headsets and the way they can move all the models within the Oasis, and like he's setting up a real set. That was visual effects achievement. That was an achievement in the tech and in the implementation. And they gave it to the traditional Hollywood story, you know, and it was garbage. It was such garbage. It was so, so terrible. So no, I do think that the Academy still does generally favor the good old boys as much as they possibly can. Cat, you're done chewing on my cord. Get your claws out of me. I do think they favor them, but it's getting harder and harder for them to avoid giving some of those awards because there's just so many of those movies now.
Matter of fact, I think it's getting easier now because they all kind of run together.
No, I'm saying there's not enough other things to choose from. It's just like having to include more and more streaming stuff.
Well, the thing is, a lot of these films are going straight to streaming stuff. So, you're not going to be able. So the thing is that theaters are not give or studios are not giving some of these smaller films a chance sometimes, which are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Coda, for example, was on Apple TV, and that's the one that won last year. That was a fantastic movie. I loved Coda. And then so you're seeing a lot of these other films that really are not having a shot really at the box office because of just what we've been talking about for months now, and box office numbers and how indie films do. It's just almost better with the production cost that you see in these films to just put them on the streaming service. And so I think that's really where it has to change, but they're doing a better job now and making sure at least they get a week, 2 weeks, theatrical run. Yeah. So that they can make it to the awards. It's just an interesting time where everything's just kind of blending together. I think that Marvel Studios specifically, because at least previous DC lended itself to be able to have a better shot at awards because they allowed so much freedom to their creative teams, to the directors. So you can have you can have your Justice League whatever and it be terrible, but at the same time you had Todd Phillips making an artsier version of Joker, which lended itself to being able to compete. Whereas Marvel Studios, it has a brand, it has an aesthetic, and it feels like it. They feel like they have to stick to it.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is, it looks like the previous film. It looks like the previous film. It looks like the previous film. So in the eyes, I guess, of the Academy, you technically just inserted A character here, insert B character here, and maybe a dragging storyline.
Click the render button.
which in Phase 4 has been even worse because you don't have that connecting story that you feel like. You can keep telling me it's the multiverse, but we see very little of it. I just find it comical that they would put these movies in for...
You find it comical?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, that was bad.
I know, right?
But I mean, yeah, so it's the last Marvel Studios film to win Academy Awards was Black Panther. Yep. Won 3 awards. So we'll see this time around. I don't see them even being in the top nominees per se.
It'll be interesting to see what they do get. I think Bassett will probably get the nod. I don't think she'll win. It'll depend on what else is up there. But we'll see. We'll see. I do think that she really potentially has the possibility of getting a nomination for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways. We all good for Monday? I think we're all good for Monday. Yeah, guys, check out LRMonline.com. It's up and running. We had some hiccups this weekend, but we're up and good to go right now. Written reviews, written news, rumors and leaks that we find either really interesting or just actually fairly credible. But like Manny said, don't take it as gospel and run out and start talking smack on Twitter. Our podcasts get written up there as well. Podcasts available wherever you get those from. Spotify, Google, Apple, and more. We're on Amazon Music now. Everything, podcasts and reactions on the YouTube channel. So if you're watching us there, hit the red subscribe button. Mine's white because I got some dark theme installed, so it's not like blinding me when I'm here doing the show for you guys. But yeah, lots of anime reactions, trailer reactions, Marvel shows, Star Wars stuff, like everything you guys could ever want in entertainment. You got anything big going on this week, Manny?
No, there's going to be quite a few stories I'll have out, though. Just kind of recaps on some of the things we did at LA Comic Con. I was sick last week, so it kind of sucked. It kind of put me under the weather. Just regular sick, not pandemic level sick. Yeah, just some of that
nice
stuff.
Qualifier.
Yeah, and then nothing much else. Just, you know, just getting ready for Christmas.
Yep. We'll be talking about some Christmas stuff this week and next week, guys. We'll talk to you next time. Bye.